Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. There's several net controls for this evening. I'm just merely opening it up this evening. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of about 75 degrees. It was about high of 80 today, and we're expecting some storms this evening. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. All right, no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. But how about anyone celebrating a birthday, maybe an anniversary, something special they want to tell us about this week, last week, or maybe this upcoming week? If so, I ask you to come aboard. All right. You know, no birthdays, no anniversaries, nothing special. I guess that means we're not getting any older. All right. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And I do want to advise you that we always record these sessions. So if you've been part of this session tonight, you most definitely will be part of that recording. Our program this evening is going to answer that question. Why is 6 meters considered the magic band? Why is it called the magic band? So thank you for allowing me to open it up this evening. But at this point, I'm going to throw it over to KY6V, who will begin the program. And please enjoy yourself. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. KY6V, are you ready?
I am. Thanks, Kathy. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming by. I'm Gordon, KY6V. And as Kathy said, tonight's program is entitled, Why is 6 Meters Called the Magic Band? And during our program presentation, you'll hear commentary on why the band is called magic, why it is very quiet sometimes and very active and noisy at other times, the different propagation levels that are found, the type of modes used on this band, and the secrets of being there when the band opening occurs. And it's an exhilarating time to be there when that happens. So without further ado, allow me to call David, GW8SZL in the UK, to get the program fully underway. And Dave, if you're ready, this is KY6V. Please proceed, please. Over.
Well, thank you, Gordon. Hello, all. This is Dave, Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, joining you from South Wales in the UK. The 6-meter band is the lowest portion of the very high frequency VHF radio spectrum allocated to amateur radio use. The term refers to the average signal wavelength of 6 meters. Although located in lower portions of the VHF band, it nonetheless occasionally displays propagation mechanisms characteristics of the high frequency, the HF bands. This normally occurs close to sunspot maximum, When solar activity increases, ionization levels in the upper atmosphere. During many sunspot peaks, worldwide 6-meter propagation occurred, making 6-meter communications as good as, or in some case instances and locations, better than HF frequencies. Now, the prevalence of HF characteristics on this VHF band has inspired amateur radio operators to dub it the Magic Band. In the Northern Hemisphere, activity peaks from May through early August, when regular sporadic e-propagation enables long-distance contacts spanning up to 2,500 kilometers, that's 1,600 miles, for single-hop propagation. Multi-hop sporadic e-propagation allows intercontinental communications at distances of up to 10,000 kilometers. Yes, 10,000 kilometers. That is 6,200 miles. In the Southern Hemisphere, sporadic e-propagation is most common from November through early February. The 6-meter band shares many characteristics with the neighboring 8-meter band, but it is somewhat higher in frequency. On October 10, 1924, the 5-meter band, that's 56 to 64 megahertz, was first made available to amateurs in the United States by the Third National Radio Conference. On October 4, 1927, the band was allocated on a worldwide basis by the International Radio Telegraph Conference in Washington, D.C. 56 to 60 megahertz was allowed for amateur and experimental use. There was no change to this allocation at the 1932 International Radio Telegraph Conference, which was held in Madrid. Reset. Now, at the 1938 International Radio Communications Conference, which was held in Cairo, television broadcasting was given priority in a portion of the 5 and 6 meter band in Europe. Television and low power stations, meaning those with less than 1 kilowatt power, were allocated 56 to 58.5 megahertz. And amateurs, experimenters, and low power stations were allocated 58.5 to 60 megs in the European region. The conference maintained the 56 to 60 megahertz allocation for other regions and allowed administrations in Europe latitude to allow amateurs to continue using the 56 to 58.5 megahertz section. Starting in 1938, the FCC created 6 megahertz wide television channel allocations working around the 5-meter amateur band, with channel 2 occupying 50 to 56 megahertz. In 1940, television channel 2 was reallocated to 60 megahertz, and TV channel 1 was moved to 50 to 56 megahertz, maintaining a gap for the 5-meter amateur band. When the US ended World War II, transmissions by amateur radio stations were suspended for the duration of the war. Now, after the war, the 5-meter band was briefly reopened to amateurs from 56 to 60 megahertz until March the 1st, 1946. At that time, the FCC moved television channel 2 down to 54 to 60 megahertz and reallocated channel 1 down to 44 to 50 megahertz, opening a gap that would become the amateur radio 6-meter band in the United States. Let me reset. FCC order 130-Charlie went into effect at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on March the 1st, 1946, and created a 6-meter band allocation for the amateur radio service as 50 to 54 megahertz. Emission types A1, A2, A3 and A4 were allowed for the entire band, and special emission for frequency modulation telephony was allowed from 52.5 to 54 megahertz. Now, at the 1947 International Radio Conference in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the amateur service was allocated 50 to 54 megahertz in ITU regions 2 and 3. Broadcasting was allowed from 41 to 68 megahertz in ITU region 1, but allowed exclusive amateur use of the 6-meter band, that's 50 to 54 megahertz, in a portion of Southern Africa. Amateurs in the United Kingdom remained in the 5-meter band, 58.5 to 60 megahertz, for a period of time following World War II, but lost this band to UK analog television, Channel 4. They gained a 4-meter band in 1956, and eventually gained a 6-meter band from 50 to 52 megahertz, when it was decided to terminate analog television broadcasts on Channel 2. Now, before I turn the program over to Chief, W4RFJ up there in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania, do we have any check-ins, comments, or questions so far? If so, please call now. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
Kilo 2 Hotel Alpha.
Victor Kilo 2 Delta Yankee. Just checking in. No comments. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, I've got K2HA, the Happy Amateur, Fred, and VK2 Delta Yankee. Robert down there in sunny Australia, where the sun always shines, who's just an in and out for the check-in. So with that, is there anybody else before I pass it round to Fred? Anybody else wants to check in or pass any comments? This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
Whiskey Alpha 1, Echo Alpha Whiskey. Whiskey Alpha 1, Echo Alpha Whiskey.
Victor Kilo 6, Bravo Quebec Quebec, Reg Western Australia. Good morning, in and out.
Okay, I've got Whiskey Alpha 1, Echo Alpha Whiskey, David. Hello there, David. We speak once again. AK6BQQ, Reg, with an in and out. Anybody else? Okay, this is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, no further takers. So with that, we'll go into Fred, the Happy Amateur. Kilo 2HA, this is GWSL. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, good evening, Dave, and good evening to everybody on the net. Thank you for being part of the presentation. Well, I tell you, that's kind of convoluted movement of the band, and I feel sorry for the hams back then who got their equipment up and running on 6 meters and then had to change some of the equipment and crystals back then. So not too many VFOs, so it was a challenge. I prefer the VFO today. So I'm interested to hear the rest of the story. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA, TW, at SL. Yeah, I can just imagine it. We had analog television here down there, or in that time. I wasn't around at that time, though. But yeah, the crystals, I can just imagine it. But, you know, ordering crystals, and I know they're very expensive now. I'm not sure what, you know, how much they actually cost back then in comparison to today's prices, but I know they're very, very expensive now if you need a crystal for. I got a couple of crystal radios upstairs on 2 meters and 70 sems, and they were on S20. Well, one's got 6 channels on 2 meters, and... But, yeah, as soon as they shut down the analog TV over here, and we were all good to go. But I like 6 meters. I'm an advocate of 6 meters. And earlier this year, actually, I managed to work East Coast US on 6 meters single sideband. And even the West Coast on 6 meters ST8, believe it or not. Okay, do you have anything further comments there, Fred? Go ahead, sir.
No, thank you, Dave. Thanks for asking. Peace and blessings to you. We pray that Declan, you, and the whole group there are doing fine, and we pray that everybody will have a blessed week and blessed Thanksgiving, and of course, come on by for the Rag Chew on Saturday and Sunday evenings at 0 hour UTC. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, from GW8SZL. Okay there, Fred. Thank you very much. We're all fine here. I hope you and yours are keeping safe and well. And anybody out there as well who's listening, everybody's keeping safe and well. Okay, next we have David, Whiskey Alpha 1, Echo Alpha Whiskey. Any comments or there, David, or just want to check in, my friend? This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
WA1EAW. Well, good evening to all. Hello, Fred. Hello, David. And Dave, I'm sorry. And greetings to everyone else who's out there. I am still learning Echolink. I printed out the entire manual with all of, I think, 30-something pages, but I intend to study that and try to get more out of this software. And I'm also studying the groups that are available, you know, the various nets that are available, conferences. But with regard to tonight, I have two radios that will cover that 6 meters. One is an ICOM 7100, and the other is an ICOM 7300. Actually, I have three radios. I have the ICOM 705, the newer portable HF, VHF, UHF radio. Now, I do have an antenna that, I have two antennas. One is a vertical, and I can get into the details later. Also, I have a long wire connected to a ICOM AH4 tuner, which has only the wire connection on it. Of course, coax coming out the back. But I'm very curious about antennas. That's a very big interest to me. So 6 meter antennas and what frequencies to look on. It's a pretty wide band. So what frequencies to scan for? Are there any nets up there on a regular basis? And that's just some of the questions that I have. So I'm looking forward to tonight's program. And sorry to be so long-winded. But again, thank you for doing this, and greetings to all.
Yeah, WA1EAW to W8Amsterdam. Yeah, thanks for your comments there, David. You have to check your local, go try repeat a book. Get your local repeaters and see if you've got a 6 meter one in your area. All 6 meter FM for the repeaters are normally vertically polarized. You need a vertical antenna for that. And trying a horizontal long wire on 6 meters, for me, it doesn't work very well. You can receive a lot of stations, but you're basically transmitting into a dummy load. And for 6 meter sideband, it's mainly horizontally polarized. And a six element horizontal beam on 6 meters will work wonders. I know the USA is very similar to the UK regarding repeater coverage and activity. When the band opens up, there's loads and loads of people there to work. But when it's not open, it's dead as a doornail sort of thing. That's why, you know, you don't know when these events are going to happen. So there's lots of people listening out there. Well, they are in the UK anyway. And waiting for the bit of sporadic E, the bands to open. And you got to get your QSOs in there quickly because the band, you know, say for example, I was, you come up on 6 meters single sideband. You know, I might only have, say, about 30 seconds to work you and just exchange reports. Or it could go on for hours because 1 minute you could be there and then you're gone. Just the nature of sporadic E there, David. I'll pass it back to you if you've got any further comments there. Vic Whiskey Alpha 1, Echo Alpha Whiskey. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
WA1EAW. No, I'll just listen at this point and hopefully learn. Thank you. WA1EAW back to net.
Okay, thank you very much, David, for your comments there and checking in. Now with that, I will pass it over to the Chief. Whiskey 4 Romeo Foxtrot Juliet up there in Ridley Park in Pennsylvania. Take it away, Chief.
This is W4RFJ. Am I getting in okay?
Yeah, no problems at all there, Chief, hearing you. Lima Charlie, as they would say. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, old great petrified one, Dave. W4RFJ here, and to take the program further, the radio regulations of the International Telecommunication Union allow amateur radio operations in the frequency range from 50 to 54 megahertz in ITU regions 2 and 3. At ITU level region 1, it is allocated to broadcasting. However, in practice, a large number of ITU region 1 countries allow amateur use of at least some of the 6-meter band. Over the years, portions have been allocated or vacated by the VHF television broadcasting channels for one reason or another. In November 2015, the ITU World Radio Conference, WRC-15, agreed that their next conference in 2019, Agenda Item 1.1, will study a future allocation of 50 to 54 megahertz to amateur radio region 1. Let me grab a nickel. 6-meter frequency allocations for amateur radio are not universal worldwide. In the United States and Canada, the band ranges from 50 megahertz to 54 megahertz. In some other countries, the band is restricted to military communications. Further, in some nations, the frequency range is used for television transmissions, although most countries have assigned those television channels to higher frequencies. Although the International Telecommunication Union does not allocate 6-meter frequencies to amateurs in Europe, the decline of VHF television broadcasts and commercial pressure on the lower VHF spectrum has allowed most European countries to provide a 6-meter amateur allocation. In the United Kingdom, it is legal to use the 6-meter band between 50 and 52 megahertz, with some limitations at some frequencies in the UK. 50 to 51 megahertz is the primary usage, and the rest is secondary with power limitations. A detailed plan, that got my tongue tied around my eye too, couldn't see what I was saying. A detailed band plan can be obtained from the Radio Society of Great Britain, RSGB's website. Many organizations promote regular competitions in this frequency range to promote its use and to familiarize operators to its quirks. For example, RSGB VHF contest committee has a large number of contests on 6 meters every year. Because of its peculiarity, man, I must have graduated college. I got through that word. There are a number of 6-meter band operator groups. These people monitor the status of the band between different paths and promote 6-meter band operation. For a full list of countries using 6 meters, refer to the band plan of the International Amateur Radio Union. Let me grab a nickel. Okay, over the past decade or so, the availability of transceivers that include the 6-meter band has increased greatly. Many commercial HF transceivers now include the 6-meter band, as do some handheld VHF/UHF transceivers. There are also a number of standalone 6-meter band transceivers, although commercial production of these has been relatively rare in recent years. Despite support in more available radios, however, the 6-meter band does not share the popularity of amateur radio's 2-meter band. This is due in large part to the larger size of 6-meter antennas, power limitations in some countries outside the United States, and the 6-meter band's greater susceptibility to local electrical interference. As transceivers have become more available for the 6-meter band, it has quickly gained popularity in many countries, including the United States. Access is granted to entry-level license holders. Those without access to international HF frequencies often gain their first taste of true long-distance communications on the 6-meter band. Many of these operators develop a real affection for the challenge of the band and often continue to devote much time to it, even when they gain access to the HF frequencies after upgrading their licenses. For antennas, horizontal polar, There I go again. Horizontal polarization is used for 6-meter weak signal SSB communications using tropospheric propagation. Sporadic E and multi-hop sporadic E vertical polarization is used for FM. Boy, that kind of ran together. I apologize. Vertical polarization is used for FM communications, repeaters, radio control, and for other propagation modes where polarization does not matter as much. Common uses, let me grab a nickel. Common uses include AM simplex, that's direct radio-to-radio communications, FM simplex, that's direct radio-to-radio communications, FM repeater operation, Earth-Moon-Earth communications, sporadic E propagation, aurora borealis reflection, WSJT digital modes, packet radio, single sideband, voice operation, Morse code, CW operation, DX, and radio control. Let me grab another nickel. In North America, especially in the United States and Canada, the 6-meter band may be used by licensed amateurs for the safe operation of radio-controlled aircraft and other types of radio control hobby miniatures. By general agreement among the amateur radio community, 200 kilohertz of the 6-meter band is reserved for the telecommand of models by licensed amateurs using amateur frequencies. The band reserved for this was... For this use is 50.79 to 50.99 megahertz with 10 specified frequencies numbered 00 to 09, spaced at 20 kilohertz apart from 50.8 to 50.98 megahertz. The upper end of the band starting at 53 megahertz and going upwards in 100 kilohertz steps to 53.8 megahertz used to be similarly reserved for RC modelers. But with the rise of amateur repeater stations operating above 53 megahertz in the United States and very few 53 megahertz RC units in Canada, the move to the lower, the lower end of the 6-meter spectrum for radio-controlled model flying activities by amateur radio operators was undertaken in North America starting in the early 1980s and more or less completed by 1991. It is still completely legal for ground-level RC model operation, that's cars, boats, etc., to be accomplished on any frequency within the band above 50.1 by any licensed amateur radio operator in the United States. However, an indiscriminate choice of frequencies for operations is discouraged by the amateur radio community. In the United States, the Federal Communications Commission, FCC Part 97.215 rules regulate telecommand of model craft in the amateur service within the United States. It allows a maximum radiated RF power output of 1 watt for RC model operations of any type. In Canada, and Industry Canada's RBR-4 standards for the operation of radio stations in the amateur radio service limits radio control of craft for those models intended for use on any amateur radio allocated frequency to amateur service frequencies above 30 megahertz. Let's see, before I turn it over to George, the Sheriff of Nottingham, NO70, to continue the program, do we have any additional check-ins, comments, or questions? Please call Whiskey 4, Romeo, Fox, Juliet.
Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo, just checking in.
Hey, Roger, McKay, Fresh JQ. You need to take a breath.
Kilo, Kilo 6, Echo, Victor, Delta, just checking in.
Okay, VE7, PGK, VA3, HJQ, and... I got to unkey to look at the call sign again. Hold on. KK6EVD. Okay, you guys are recognized, and I can now breathe. John and, hold on a sec. Ken, do you have any comments for the net, or is it just checking in good enough? W4RFJ.
No comments at the moment. I'm just sitting here listening.
Okay, Ken, thank you, sir. John, how about you? Yeah, I know I need to breathe, but sometimes it's hard to do.
From Big Adresse AQ. Well, good morning from down on 11:33 a.m. Friday morning. Just got back from my game of tennis and looks like we're going to get some rain. And yeah, Reg is listening there. BC's in a, British Columbia's in a state of emergency because of all the flooding over there. So hopefully Michael V7KO is okay. Yeah, 6 metres in Australia. Actually, somebody was going to give me a stack of 6 metre radios. I used to run an electronics store and some guy walked in and said, I'm going to the tip job with all these radios. Do you want them? I said, what am I going to do with more junk? He said, well, you can convert these to 6 metres. And I said, when am I ever going to use 6 metres? And he had a whole truck full of them. And I said, no, I'll take them to the dump. Anyway, looking back now, maybe I should have said, yeah, give me a few of them. But yeah, in Australia, 6 metres, what do they cover? Advanced license only, 50 to 52 megs. Standard and advanced, 52 to 54. So basically, we cover 50 to 54 megs. 50 megs used to be, or 51 or 52 used to be ABC TV transmitter on VHF here in Australia. So they used to have lots of problems with 50 megs over here until they shifted the ABC off, was it Channel O? Yeah, Channel O or Channel 1, whatever was on 50-odd megs. Anyway, they had to move it over here in Australia, Roger, because of obviously it was interfering with the 6-metre band. So there you go. Anyway, good morning from down under. Back to you, Big Catch HJQ.
Yeah, thank you, John. And, you know, here in the States, we used to have that problem too, but, you know, I don't think they have very much going on down there in that region of the band for TV. Anyway, Bob, come on aboard, KK6EVB? Pardon me if I got that wrong. I'm not taking notes and I should be. Bob, any comments for the net? This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net.
Not a lot. I really appreciate you doing this presentation. It is KK6EVD is the call sign here in Southern California. I do have one question. I think one of you gentlemen said that 6 meters was really only active when the solar cycle was at its peak. So am I correct in assuming that right now it's more or less dead? I have not actually attempted to listen to 6 meters much recently, so that's the reason for the question. Back to you.
Well, you know, there's probably more qualified people to discuss this with than me. To me, you know, going back to the question, what is it that makes 6 meters the magic band? And I can tell you from experience, having been licensed since 1982, which, you know, really keeps me in there as a young buck, the 6 meter band has opened up time at times that you wouldn't expect it to open up. And when it's open, I mean, you can use a wet noodle as an antenna. And when it's closed, it's closed. I mean, simplex, you know, station to station is still possible, but it's just phenomenal when it opens. I haven't even played with it here recently, but I think when I retire, I'm going to play around with some propagation models and computer software and see how 6 meter fares. Anyway, Bob, did I answer your question, or did it just spark more interest? Over.
Answer the question. It just sounds like it's a mystery or a magic band. That's why I guess they call it that. So it makes a lot of sense. Sounds kind of exciting though when it does open up. So I'm really interested in keeping tabs on it myself. Thanks again. Back to you, KK6EVD.
Okay, Bob. Thanks for joining us. By the way, are you a member of SouthCars?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I don't think I've ever chatted with you before. That's why I asked. Okay, well, that was the end of the, let's see, Bob was on the caboose of that, so I guess it's now on to the Sheriff of Nottingham, NO70. How about it, George? Are you available for your part? This is W4RFJ.
Well, thank you, Chief, and yes, I am. Good evening to everyone. George, NO70 here from Nottingham, Maryland. And I would like to continue what Chief and Dave were talking about with some specifics to look at in understanding the magic band. 6 meters, 50 to 54 megahertz, is known as the magic band to many of its fans, but but the best description I ever heard came from a hound worked during a frantic summer sporadic E opening. The quote is, "This is a great band if you like having Mother Nature pull your chain. On 6 meters, you can do almost anything that can be done on an HF band. Hams have earned the awards of Work All States, WAS, also WAC, and DXCC on 6 meters. 6 meters can sound like a contest weekend on 20 meters, filled with signals and pileups galore. What makes it so different from the other HF bands is that you never know when this excitement will come. That ear-blasting cacophony of signals can change into a completely dead band in only a few minutes, or vice versa, from dead to very alive. 6 meters offers nearly every kind of propagation known. At the peak of a sunspot cycle, when the solar flux rises to between 150 and 200, then our F-layer skip, familiar to HF operators, can provide worldwide contacts on 6 meters. If the solar flux goes significantly above 200, DX work on 6 can even get fairly reliable. Propagation modes more familiar to VHF operators, such as sporadic E, auroral, the A-U-R-O-R-A-L, meteor scatter, trans-equatorial, and moon bounce have all been used on 6 meters. Resetting. I'll take a quick aside here and remind people of the 3.5-hour lunar eclipse tonight with a peak on the eastern time zone of about 1 a.m. And I would be curious as to what effect that may or may not have on 6-meter propagation during that lunar eclipse tonight, that especially with moon bounce being as intriguing as it can be. Let me continue. Sporadic E is the most common workhorse for 6-meter operators. Peaking around the solstices in June and December, this mode of propagation, sporadic E, can provide contacts over a few hundred miles or a couple of thousand miles or more with a double hop. It comes back every season, even during the sunspot minimum. Sporadic E was essentially discovered by hams during the 1930s, when the old 5-meter band of 56 megahertz produced contact covering, quote, impossible, unquote, distances. Those impossible distances became very possible very quickly. The E-skip season runs from May to July, with another shorter peak in December and early January. But this propagation mode can appear at any time, to go to the question asked earlier. A sporadic E opening typically lasts for a few hours. For a thorough discussion of sporadic E, then you are commended to see the article by Emil Pocock, W3 Echo Papa, in the April 1988 issue of QST. So again, that his call sign is Whiskey 3 Edward Papa, and his article on sporadic E is in the April 1988 issue of QST. May we reset? Now, for those who might be interested in trying their hands with 6-meter operation, today it's easier than ever to get on 6 meters. Many of the newer HF rigs come with 6-meter capability built in. There also are transverters, such as the ones from Tintec, that will put your HF rig on 6, and single band rigs, such as MFJ's Adventure Radio. If you're interested in DX, avoid the FM-only 6-meter rig and get one that's capable of additional operation of the CW and single sideband on 6 meters. You don't need a lot of power. When 6 is open, it's open, and you then have the luxury of CW and single sideband operation by getting a rig capable of all three modes. Antennas for the 6-meter band are readily available commercially, but also easy to homebrew. A dipole for 6 meters is only a bit over 9 feet long, and even a wire dipole in a good location will perform well. At this length, it also is easy to make a rotatable dipole from aluminum tubing. A three-element Yagi will perform admirably and makes a nice weekend construction project. Ground plane and J-pole antennas also work fine for 6 meters. Resetting. Now, while antenna polarization makes little difference for DX work, it is important if you also want to work with other 6-meter operators within ground wave range. Most operators with Yagis or rotatable dipoles use horizontal polarization, so if you rely on a vertical ground plane or J-pole, you may miss out on local and regional 6-meter nets, which nets can provide a nice way of keeping up with weak signal VHF happening. One way to get both polarizations in one antenna would be to build an L antenna for 6, adapting the 10-meter design of W4RNL, Whiskey 4, Romeo, November, Lima, presented in the December 1999 QFC on page 52. Again, you don't need an elaborate station to get good results on 6 meters. During one opening, an honest 5.9 plus signal report with a station was received from several hundred miles away, and then he asked about my station. When I said 10 watts and a ground plane antenna, he laughed. His station, 1,500 watts and an array of 4 11-element Yagis, and the same signal report on both ends. So, but you know, the guy uses his top-of-the-line station for 6-meter moon bounce work. All right, that is some information for your consideration for how to get started with operations and antennas on 6 meters. At this point, I'm going to let Dave, KB9EWG, call for any stations for further check-ins, comments, or questions, and then let him continue with the concluding thoughts for tonight's Thursday information net on 6-meter operations. So, Dave KB9EWG, would you please be willing to take any check-ins or comments? KB9EWG, over to you, NL70. Over.
Well, thank you, George. Good evening to you, and good evening to everybody else on South Cars, KB9EWG, here in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And yeah, before I take any check-ins, I just wanted to mention, George, that my first 6-meter radio was an Olenco DX70T, and that was a 100 watts HF and 10 watts on 6 meters, and I was running that with using a 5/8 wave 2-meter antenna as a 6-meter quarter wave, and that worked well mobile that way. And I've got a 6-meter rotatable dipole in my closet made out of a pair of aluminum crutches. So, yep, very easy to get on 6 meters nowadays. Good evening, all. This is KB9EWG. Looking for anybody wanting to check in, comment, or whatever else for the internet this evening. So come down, please.
Net control, this is Kilo Oscar 4, Oscar Whiskey Echo, KO40WE, Scott from Memphis, Tennessee.
This is KB0ROT. It's Kilo Bravo 0, Romeo Oscar Tango, Karen here in Madison, South Dakota. 2663, over.
Okay, I've got OWE and ROT. OWE, come ahead there, please.
I believe it was my turn, is that correct? Over.
No. I think you called me. I'm not sure. I hope so, but I'll just be quick. This is Scott from Memphis, Tennessee. Kilo Oscar 4, Oscar Whiskey Echo. Just listening in. I do have my general license, but I've not done much with it this year. Just got it all going, and this year I need a 6-meter rig or all-band radio or something. So doing mostly 2-meter, 440, and then Echo Link and connecting up that way and enjoying listening to the net. So I just kind of listen and learn, but thank you for calling it tonight. And we do have some neighbors from Wisconsin down the street, so there's lots of folks running around from up north down here in the south. And it's a bit warmer down here. Not always. It's going to be freezing tonight. 7-3 to all, back to net control, K-O-4-O-W-E.
Well, it's currently 31 degrees here, and I've been seeing snow fly throughout the day there. Not much, but a little bit here and there. But Scott, thank you for your check-in, and good evening to you. And, well, eventually I'm sure you'll get up on 6 meters. It's a fun band to work. I've been on there a number of times there. Like I said, my first time on, I was running a 10-watt mobile with a all-mode radio, and it worked out well there. So good evening to you, Scott. Thank you. ROT, go ahead and pick it up there.
Yeah, okay. I apologize there, Scott. I guess I had to turn my hearing aids on. But anyways, wanted to say good evening to you there. And yes, you know, 6 meter is a kind of a retirement band. I am retired myself, mostly tired, but I plan on getting my 706 Mach 2G going here one of these days, and I haven't used 6 meters for quite some time anyway. But it's a good time when it is active as well. Well, good evening to the group, and SCARS 2663, and 73s to you. Have a good evening, and Thanksgiving coming up as well. Over.
Good evening to you, and thank you for your comments there. And, good Thanksgiving to you as well there. This is KB9EWG with the Thursday Information Net, talking about the Magic Band, the 6-meter band. Anybody else wish to pick it up, comments, or just wish to check in before I continue on with the net here? Well, I don't hear anybody else wishing to check in at this point here. So I'll go ahead and pick up my segment. And thank you, George. Good evening to you. Nice job. Hi, everybody from KBEWG. This will be the final segment of this program this evening. And if you have not learned it yet, you will find out that this is a fun band, and patience is also required with the band there. 6-meter operators do a lot of waiting because of the unpredictable nature of the band. To help show when the band is open, 6-meter fans around the world have put up a fairly extensive suite of beacons on the air. In the U.S., beacons occupy the regions from 50.6 to 50.06 to 50.08 megahertz in the countries. In other countries, beacons are spread more widely throughout the band. It's a good idea to check a few beacons in different directions from your QTH and check their frequencies regularly. During an opening, go through the beacon subband and note which ones you're hit receiving and watch for them later. Unlike HF band, 6 meters is much more rigidly structured in terms of what frequencies are used for what purposes. Let me reset here. Okay. Ironically, 6 meters available to all, no code text is one of the only two ham bands, 2 meters is the other, with a CW-only subband, which excludes all data transmissions. That CW-only subband runs from 50.0 to 50.1 megahertz. Almost all weak signal activity on 6 occurs between 50.1 and 50.4. Calling frequencies are used extensively from 50.100 to 50.125. is a DX window, which domestic QSOs are discouraged. The DX calling frequency is 50.110, the traditional domestic calling frequency is 50.125. However, there has been a movement recently to extend the DX window from 50.130 and make 50.200 the new domestic calling frequency. This movement has been precipitated by the extension of 6-meter privileges to hands in new countries around the world and associated increase in number of DX stations on the air. Such band plans are, of course, voluntary and observed widely by the 6-meter community. Stand by for reset. The recommended CW calling frequency is 50.09, but you will often hear CQs on 50.125 as well. Under old band plan, you will hear many stations on 50.125 as the band opened up. Then as more stations discovered the opening activity, would spread around in frequency reaching from 50.3 to 50.4 during a good opening. It seems likely that while the new expanded DX window probably will catch on, many operators will take some time to let go of the old familiar 50.125. I would recommend monitoring both 50.125 and 50.2 as well. Stand by. Okay, the script rolled on me here. Stand by a second. Sorry about that. The script had rolled on me here. All right, let me see if I figure out where I'm at here. All right, Okay, 50.09 during an opening, if the opening seems really good, start checking 50.110 for DX stations as well. Most of the Mexican weak signal contacts on 6 are single sideband, but in recent years there has been an increase in CW activity. As mentioned above, CW activity often is intermingled freely among single sideband signals. It would be nice to see more CW activity down around 50.09 and use the CW exclusive subband to better advantage. The first thing you will be asked when you make a contact on 6 is, what's your grid square? While still little known among HF operators, the Maidenland grid square system is formalized at a VHF meeting in Britain in 1980 and adopted worldwide by the International Amateur Radio Union in 1985, is almost universally used as a locator system by VHF and UHF and microwave operators. The Maidenhead system divides the world into 32,400 squares, each 2 degrees of longitude and 1 degree of latitude. There are larger fields of 100 locator squares. Each square is divided into smaller subsquares for most purposes, knowing that your 2 degrees by 1 degree square is sufficient. Stand by. VHF operators collect grid squares like HF operators collect countries. Many are working towards the ARRL VHF-UHF Century Club, or VUCC, award, which requires confirmed contacts of 100 grid squares. During VHF contests, some enthusiasts go on grid square expeditions to put rare grid squares on the air, while others become rovers to operate from several grids during the contest. Just as states and countries serve as multipliers for HF contest scores, grid squares are typically multipliers for VHF contest scores. You can find a grid square map of the U.S. by using the internet, or you can plug your latitude and longitude into AMSAT's grid square calculator. If you work much more on 6 meters, you will probably want to add your grid square to the information on your QSL card, more information on the web. Many hams become rather fanatical about 6 meters, and there is a wealth of information about this band on the web. To learn more, you can start at the site 6 meter International Radio Club, the SMIRK. You can earn a lifetime membership in the SMIRK by working 6 meters, six members on 6 meters and collecting their SMIRK membership numbers. SMIRK sponsors contests, publishes newsletters, and meets annually. Another good website is the UK 6 meter group. Stand by here. 6 meters can provide you with a lot of excitement and new operating challenges. In addition to offering new awards and contests, this band can expand your experience with different propagation modes. Finally, in my opinion, 6 meters serves a valuable function for the health and of amateur radio. All licensed hams, except for novices, can use 6 meters. In recent years, NOCO technicians have discovered this band in increasing numbers when someone whose only experience with amateur radio has been local operation on 2 meter repeaters makes a 6 meter contact with another ham more than 1,000 miles away. That can be a dramatic revelation and that opens up a whole new world to them. In many cases, such a revelation spurs that ham to upgrade their license and join on DHF bands. When that happens, we have, in all likelihood, gained a lifelong radio devotee who otherwise might have dropped from our ranks from boredom. Stand by. So, get on a new band there, or get on a newly discovered band for yourself and open up a whole new world for you. So, there you go. Get yourself excited about the hobby there instead of just being bored. By showing such hams the wider world of our hobby, 6 meters earned its appellation of the magic band, and it truly is a magic band there. Well, that just about concludes this program for this evening. Do we have any additional check-ins, comments, or questions? If so, come now, please. This is KB9EWG.
Six, Victor.
Six, Victor. Go ahead there, please, sir.
Hey, thanks, David. Well, first of all, I wanted to thank all of the narrators tonight for a job very well done. And in your session that you just went through, you're part of the program, you mentioned beacons, and I wanted to comment on one thing. I have found out through the years, at least the times that I have been active or semi-active on 6 meters, is that a lot of guys use this trick, and it works very well. Take your 6 meter transceiver, put it on scan, okay? Scan the beacon frequency that David gave you. Frequencies, I don't know, it was about 100 kc or so, as I recall. And when you hear some activity on that, your squelch break and, the scan stops and you hear something, pay attention. And you're going to get something in the long run. Thanks, David. KY6V, over.
Well, Gordon, as I mentioned earlier, my first experience with 6 meters was with that Lenko DX70 running 10 watts mobile. And I said I was just feeding that into a 2 meter 5/8 wave, which MFJ had labeled as a dual band antenna, 2 meter to 6 meter. And I make quite a few contacts on that thing, both on sideband and FM, and it is a wonderful band. So thank you, Gordon. Appreciate it. Any other comments? Okay, nothing further from Gordon. Or anybody else have any comments or wish to check in at this time? If so, come now, please. This is KDNET-EWG with the Thursday Information Net talking about the Magic Band, 6 meters. Well, no further check-in, so I think that's just about going to wrap things up here. Okay, thank you to everybody. This has been SCARS DOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on that wonderfully information-packed website, scarsvoip.com. That is SCARSVOIP.com. We are now going to say 7-3, closing this UIP session. I'd like to thank all the narrators this evening, Gordon and Sheep and George and David over there in Wales. And, of course, Kathy for opening us up. And, of course, I want to thank everybody else for checking in. This could not be a net without everybody else participating, so thank you once again. We're now going to say 7-3, close this UIP session. Thank you for participation. This net is now closed, and the system is returned to normal amateur use. This is KDNET-EWG 7-3, and good evening.